tonight that I want to get to you, share it with you. And really the title of the message is a declaration that in a few moments I want us to be able to say together. Well, let's go ahead and put it on the screen. Let's sit together right now. And I need a strong declaration tonight. By God's grace, I will make a difference. Say that with me again. By God's grace, I will make a difference. Now, without that first part, the difference we'll make is probably a negative difference. But by God's grace, we're going to make a difference. And I believe that for people in this room. I'm speaking to influencers tonight. And I not only are embracing grace that makes this possible, but I believe for our influence for the kingdom of God to increase. Do you believe that? That you say, oh, well, we're in the COVID mess and we're in some downturn of economy. And so, listen, we're still going to make a difference because we're connected to who He is. And that new thing, making way in the desert, all that testimony sharing that Becky did, that's so beautiful. But tonight I want to study some how-tos too. It's not enough to say you are a difference maker. I believe that. But I want us to look at some of the how-tos of this. And I preach at various times and in sundry ways about this one man in the Bible. But I want to focus this tonight pretty narrowly as we consider five keys that help this one man go from being relatively seeming like an unknown. His name is actually only recorded in the book of Acts. We don't see him in as writing epistles or these things, but we'll see this guy go from being an unknown Christian man to influencing initially an entire city for the kingdom of God. And through a witness to one man, actually history would say, tradition would say that he influenced the entire country. If you don't know who I'm talking about yet, I'm talking about the man named Philip in the Bible. Now, he's not the same Philip that's listed as one of the apostles. But he's very significant in the places where we see his name in the book of Acts. Let's see how God moves this man, Philip, from obscurity to a place of great influence. And don't put yourself in a box and think, well, it's got to be just like this. Philip had to move outside of the box. And we'll look at some principles tonight because I am looking at men and women that you really are influencers. Would you look at somebody and tell them that? Affirm that in them? You are an influencer. It looks different. We come in different packages, shapes, sizes, skin tones, amount of hair. But you're influencers. And the exciting part is that God will use every one of us who say yes to Him. So maybe look at five things that I think are significant to us tonight. We first see this man Philip introduced into the Word of God in Acts chapter 6. Number one, let me give you these five things. I'm not going to give all five to you this time. First thing is realize that purpose is often discovered and developed in our serving. If you're waiting for God to give you the 10-year plan before you step out of your tracks, you're probably going to be still in that rocking chair, not doing. But often, purpose is discovered and it's developed in our serving. Acts chapter 6, let's just read about 4.5 verses here and move on past that. But it's Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation for this. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, that's 12 apostles, called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the Word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea and they chose the following. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Philip, and there's the first time you see Philip's name. It lists 5 more, but I don't want to go into that for the sake of time and necessity. So I don't see any, as they're offering this place of assignment to them as the apostles are actually with the will of the people, I don't see any contract attached to this serving opportunity, like X amount of dollars that you're going to be paid, or some promise of future promotion, or you'll have elevated authority. I don't see in here that it says that if you'll, guys, the seven, if you'll just serve here, in 6 months we'll get you a director position and an air-conditioned office. I don't see that there. And I'm going to give you a nugget of wisdom here. Very often the discovery of godly purpose is disguised as a four-letter word. W-O-R-K. Say it with me. Work. Often it's disguised that way. And in the process of serving and working, then, again, discovery and development often happens. The serving opportunity for these men that were selected was obviously related to what was already stated to be fraught with problems. Conflict and trouble were happening already. Accusations of prejudice and mistreatment and neglect were already there. See, that's not new to our generation. And it's not necessarily based on skin color or ethnicity. The Hebrew-speaking Jews and the Greek-speaking Jews were at conflict with one another. If Brother Nicoyo was here tonight, he could tell you about the tribal clans in Kenya and how, again, it's not skin color or that divides, but when there are tribal wars and conflicts that even affect Christians, it shouldn't be that way, but that's happened there, then it's tribal backgrounds, the Maasai tribe against some other tribe and those things. I want to encourage you, though, that God has placed us to be difference makers, even in a culture and even in a time that may have these same kind of accusations. Well, because of this or that, you're neglecting us, you're favoring us. So this team of seven that were called upon, would they take this assignment? They were supposed to try and fix this problem and administrate this food and resource ministry. Crowds were so great in Jerusalem in that this early church, thousands and thousands, but many were displaced. They needed help. They needed food assistance and those things. I've never noticed this before, but understand, when these seven guys are called for, and the people said, these are men full of the Holy Spirit, of honor, and we trust them and respect them and all these things, they are actually taking a position that the apostles had said, we shouldn't be doing this. We don't need to spend our time dealing with this food issue stuff and taking care of these widows. Does that strike you as odd? See, here's what would happen in our modern, I think, culture, and even, I suspect that this even happened then. There were probably people who criticized and accused the apostles for their handling of that situation. Oh, y'all are too good to do this. That's not what they said. That was not what reality was. So I want to make two observations here that are going to apply to our life. If we're going to be influencers, God's going to help us get some things on track here. And some of it's mindsets and perspectives. I am thankful the apostles have said, we're not supposed to be doing that. And if the criticism was there, y'all think you're too above this and whatever. No. But I'm thankful. Two observations that I'll share with you. I'm thankful for people who are wise enough and obedient to God enough and secure enough to run in the lane of their calling. Just because something's there doesn't mean you're necessarily the one supposed to be the answer to. I am not the answer to the world's problems. I'm not the answer to open door problems. Some of you may say, well, you are part of the problem. That's the issue, right? Go on with yourself right now. We're going to move on. These apostles, what is being declared here is we need to focus and guard our time on prayer and teaching the word. That was in verse 4. So what about the seven men who would be selected to run that food program? Number two observation is, I'm thankful for people who are wise enough and obedient to God enough and secure enough to run in the lane of their calling. If you didn't pick up on that, number one, number two were the same of what I'm just saying. See, in that support role, in that role of bringing order out of chaos, it wasn't enough that they say, oh, well, we'll just pray about this problem. No, there needed to be some people with administrative abilities and willing hearts and full of the Holy Spirit to go deal with these people. How many of you have ever dealt with disgruntled people before? It's not always a pretty picture. It takes some times wisdom and love and some process to get that group working together. But these people were willing to run in their lane too. I just think that's an important part. Do you see? I believe that both groups were doing what they did in obedience to God, which overview was serving God and loving people. Loving God and serving people. Do you see that interacting right there? They were willing to serve. They were each of these groups, the apostles and the seven men that were that administrative team there. They were willing to serve in their designated lanes of God-given responsibility and of opportunity. Now, it's not about one person or group being better than the other, even here. It's about serving God's purpose. And both of these groups there were serving God's purpose. Do you see that with me? Sometimes we're to serve in a certain area so that others can serve in their area. I'm talking to a Wednesday night group. Thank you, those of you that are tuning in online as well. This will apply to you at home as well, as we're one body of believers. This past week, I think it was Monday of the past week when we had a funeral service here, my place of serving that day was not preaching the funeral. It wasn't my responsibility. It wasn't my positioning. It wasn't my place to bring the word that day. It was serving in a different capacity. What I jokingly say, I was impersonating a sound man during that time. I was to serve in that capacity. For that day, the lane that I was supposed to be running in was serving that worship team that was up here on this platform. It was serving that pastor that was called on to preach that funeral. It was serving that wife and those kids that sang, the wife and children of the man who's with the Lord now, the young man. It was my place to serve them in that capacity. On that day, some of you were serving in a different capacity. You were running in a different lane, but it was still for the glory of God and the purpose that God. It was mercy team. You'd gathered food, you'd set that up, set up the room, set up the food, serve those families that were there. Others from Open Door served in other ways that day. I think ushering even and taking care of things. Out of willing hearts, you were each seeking to run in your assigned lanes for the glory of God. Every time that we gather in service here, there's so many things that happen both behind the scenes, whether it's Mary or somebody else running what's behind us on the screen, and the other observations of ushers. See, these things are happening because people are discovering, they're developing in the lanes that they're running in, and they're serving God and serving people. They're loving God and loving people. Can I have one amen right here? I want to make sure that we're on the same page because some of you may be on the outside. You feel like, well, I'm not in any of that. Let me encourage you that there's some opportunities of serving and some lanes to run in the nursery. That's loving on those little infants and toddlers while mom and dads are in here, some of them giving their hearts and lives to the Lord because they're showing up. You know, people showing up, they're saying, we're here because you have kids ministry open. That was, I think, Sunday, maybe the one before that. Others that maybe it's kids ministry, the ones that are a little bit older on Sundays and Wednesdays, rotating out in that. Maybe it's youth ministry. There's a group of youth and leaders back there in worship tonight. And because people are volunteering and filling, running in that lane, youth are going to get ministered to. Maybe it's the other realms of support, whether video and on service times that we've had to begin all that stuff. Maybe it's ushers and greeters and security team, medical team. Maybe it's food pantry, and you guys have just kept on serving as people have been with needs and needs, and you've done that. And maybe there's some ministries I left out, but I'm just talking about finding a lane and then stepping up to the plate and saying, can I help there? I didn't see where these guys ask a lot of questions. These seven that were selected, they rose to the challenge. And I want to encourage you, let's rise to the challenge. At the request of the apostles, they asked for these men to serve. Philip, the conversation's not recorded in Scripture, but I wondered if it was something like, Philip, are you willing to serve? Even if it doesn't seem like a very elevated position, a very honored position, I believe Philip said, absolutely I am. Sign me up. I believe that's many of your hearts here. Maybe we just haven't made it easy enough to do that. I want to tell you, you can do this. You see a ministry or department head, you can contact them. You can call the church office. We want you to be involved and see what you can discover and see what you can develop in the lane that you're supposed to be running in. Can I hear one amen right here? God is, let me say it this other way. I think God's not just looking for professionals in each of these areas of service. Well, that's what I've been trained for, or vocationally what I'm involved in, or my educational experiences there. In other words, I don't think God's just looking for folks that we deem qualified. But rather, I love the statement that somebody made, God is looking for the willing that he can qualify. See, that's the discovery part of this and the developing part of this. So the first observation that we're making concerning Philip is that he was willing to get involved, to discover and develop even as he was serving people and serving God. Oftentimes, we've got to grow into it. We're going to work into it. The second observation, though, this is really important as we track with Philip in his experiences. Don't allow disappointments to defeat you. Do not allow disappointments to defeat you. You started this journey in the Lord. How many in this room have ever been disappointed? How many been disappointed? After you started serving the Lord, you still got this. Everybody has. Now, I don't know how to avoid disappointments, but I do believe that we can keep them from derailing us, from defeating us, from fulfilling the purposes of God. What Philip was about to experience in his own life as part of that team of men administrating that food program, working in that food program, Philip was about to experience, it was more than just a bump in the road. It was more than a minor setback. It was so major. It was such a huge crisis, such an injustice that it had the potential to have thrown this man off track from what God was yet going to do in his life had he continued. One of Philip's ministry brothers, one of that seven-member team, who was named Stephen. Stephen was being mightily used of God as they continued to serve people. Acts 6, verse 8, one verse here. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. Didn't have a title. He was still heading up this troubled food pantry ministry. And I don't mean that to be minor. It was a huge magnitude. But Stephen faced such extreme opposition as he was allowing the power of God to flow through him. And God was doing miraculous things through his life. In Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7, we won't read that, but they record the events. It actually records the sermon that Stephen preached to these extreme opposition Jews, religious Jews in Jerusalem. They were against Christ and they were against the gospel. Stephen preaches to them. They become so enraged as a mob, a crowd. They rioted against Stephen. They actually executed him, stoning him to death. Now, we often, when we read the Bible, we some way do it without considering that these are real people with real feelings. Friends that are around, family that had the same love for one another that you and I do. Stephen was a friend and a partner, an associate with Philip, the one that we're talking about tonight. They were serving in ministry together. They were serving God, serving people together. Now, at this juncture, Stephen is dead. Just a horrible, again, injustice. Stephen had been a bold proclaimer to some of those very ones that crucified Jesus. He was speaking the truth. And now his body's just a bloody mess under a pile of rocks outside of Jerusalem. Realize that Stephen's death, it didn't come with the footnote of explanation. And God said, well, this is why he was executed this way. This is how this happened, and something's going to... None of that. Can I tell you that sometimes that's the way life smacks you? I don't know about that. I don't understand this. Been there? Experienced that? It doesn't have to derail you, though. Watch this. Philip, I believe that some way Philip had already made a decision that he would not allow the disappointments that he would face in life to pull him back and defeat him from his purpose in God. Even though he didn't fully know it, he just wouldn't stop. And I'm telling you, child of God, just don't stop. You say, well, I don't get that at all. It makes no sense to me. We'll talk about that in a few minutes a little further. But know this, again, our disappointments will not always have clear explanations at all. But I know before we get to them, we can make a determination, refuse to allow disappointments to defeat us. Can I hear an amen? If you'll agree with me about that, by God's grace, I will refuse to allow disappointments to defeat me. Look at how violent, severe the persecution was as it continued. Beyond the execution of Stephen, beyond that injustice, it continued two verses, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. Let me pause for a second. In the Greek, that word means he applauded it. Talking about a wicked man. That was the one that later would be so transformed by God. This would be the Apostle Paul. At this point, he saw a man applauding the death of a child of God. He agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church at Jerusalem. And all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Verse 3, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. See, one thing after another was coming against these early Jesus followers in order to defeat them. But look at that, the keys of maintaining influence and letting that grow and the purposes of God grow through us so that we can make a difference. The adversity, the persecution that began, it says at that point, it was so targeted against believers, but it actually thrust them into opportunity. Let me give you the third observation. Number 3 is keep looking for the opportunities in our adversities. That's important, church. Because God sets up things in some very unlikely places. Pastor Therese had mentioned to me about your dad testing in the hospital. Somewhere in that stuff, he's reaching out to somebody. And in the things of God, I understand the nurse and tears and whatever all God was transpiring there. In his adversity, he was finding opportunity. I think that's what God has us in some of this right now stuff. Is in your adversity, be intentional about finding opportunities. The crisis, this crisis that occurred there, it actually launched the opportunity. It created the opportunity because as the believers, because of the persecution that was so much there, they fled into Judea and Samaria. They fled from Jerusalem except for the apostles. Acts 8 verse 4, but the believers who were scattered, say that with me, would you? Let's start at the beginning of verse 4. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Boy, that's a good practice, isn't it? Proclaim the truth of Jesus. Verse 5, Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and he told the people there about the Messiah. Rather than those thousands that then made up the church at Jerusalem, rather than those just staying right in the city, having a great time of fellowship and influence just in that city of Jerusalem, it seemed like the devil in his plan to squash the gospel, Jesus followers, his plan to squash their influence absolutely backfired. It seemed like it was sort of like trying to put out a grease fire with water. It just took off and they scattered. It says, the Bible shows us that really the gospel exploded because wherever the people of God went, the gospel of God went too. Amen. In the middle of our adversity, intentionally look for the opportunities that are being presented right there. Sometimes I believe that acting on the opportunity even preempts the enemy from his end goal of what he wanted to accomplish anyway by creating the crisis or the adversity. Again, I don't mean that God creates every adversity. I don't believe that at all, or every problem. But he can still turn so many of those things around for his glory if we'll be opportunists there. Can I hear a witness in the house? Philip demonstrated that. And the fourth principle is keep pursuing your God-given purpose. I don't understand this. I don't like it. It stinks. Keep pursuing your God-given purpose. I'm planning on doing that till the day that I leave this planet. Have I got any people that are partnering saying, I want to do that myself as well? See, it would not have been a fulfillment of the purpose of God for Philip and those other believers to just have run from Jerusalem and hide out in the mountains and wait until they died of old age. But rather, there was a purpose and a mission to which they were to stay true, which was sharing Jesus. If you forget about whatever else that you're supposed to be involved in your life, our number one purpose is sharing the Lord. It's living that out, reflecting Christ, and verbalizing it too as God creates opportunities. There's so many here that are influencers for the kingdom of God. They're part of Open Door. Many of you don't have a title that signifies that of you. There's some that you may not even be aware of in this room. They're incredible tools in the hand of a mighty God. I could start calling names, but I just value you and you're serving God at that position or that hideaway. Some of you are like several years ago in the military. I don't know if it was actually an Air Force plane. The stealth bombers, do y'all remember those? Made out of a large, you're in the aircraft industry sort of, John and others, and Patty is. But my understanding is that they were created in such a way and out of such materials that the radar generally would not detect them flying into an enemy territory. Stealth bombers, where the word comes from, stealth, that they could go in, drop the bombs, and fly on out undetected. Listen, I believe that some of you are sort of like that, only you're not bombing places. You're dropping the gospel. You fly in, you say, here's that box of groceries. Woo! Here's that word of encouragement. You fly in, and you drop down, and you made a difference in somebody's life. You made an impact, and you are doing that. I just encourage you, keep on. Keep on. Don't stop now. Let's see what God would open up for us again. In our everyday life, keep your message in the midst of your adversity. Becky, would you slip back up to the keyboard? In our everyday lives, even when it's adversity going on, don't just sit in silence, but wait for how God would cause us to rise up in boldness as men and women of God, to be the people of influence he's called us to be, whether it's at school, whether it's on your job, or it's in your neighborhood, it's on a softball team, it's in a business setting, all of that stuff. That's important that we keep doing our part, pursuing God-given purpose. Last observation that I want to share, number 5, is keep expecting God to produce the results. If I think the results are dependent on me, I'm going to fall flat. But I expect that God honors His word. I expect that God wants to produce results because He loves people. Philip had gone down to Samaria. People fled everywhere. Philip goes down to Samaria, what seemed to be the wrong side of the tracks, because he went down and ministered to people who both by culture and by history were opposed to Jews. They were prejudiced against Philip initially. The Jews and the Samaritans, they had this running thing of not having anything to do with each other. So there was the racial, culture, religious barrier. But Philip, in the midst of his adversity, he stepped into opportunity. And it was obvious that he did so with an expectancy for God to produce results. Look at verse 6, Acts chapter 8, verse 6. Crowds listened as he came there. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. God didn't intend for the gospel to be preached without power. And please don't misunderstand. Power doesn't necessarily mean the volume of my voice when I'm preaching. It does not, it's not measured necessarily by the level of my enthusiasm or oratorical ability. Power of the gospel, the results of the hand of God being in people's lives. Some last Wednesday evening youth service, and they've been doing having a series on Wednesdays as a fasting and prayer time. They're believing God showing up back there, and one of the healing that took place last Wednesday, one of the workers that had headaches for 3 weeks instantly went away. God instantly healed in the worship time. Somebody just laid their hands on them. And that Sunday night, there were so many things that happened. Under the ministry with Carrie McMahon and the things that happened. One of the testimonies that came forth today, one of the young men had come, and I'm not sure how long he had been addicted to smoking, but he came forward, and this was the desire. Understanding it was hindering his life, hindering his testimony, those things, made a decision, let God do this. God broke addiction to that off. He has not had a craving for cigarettes since then. He had been sitting in church that night craving already. But God broke some stuff up. I'm just telling you, I think we need to increase our expectancy of God showing up in power. I'm expecting cancer to be gone. I'm expecting healing to come. Glory to God. See, the Bible says it. Jesus, let me jump on to Mark chapter 16. Jesus said to them, this is Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, all of creation, people. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, say it with me. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Let me pause. Before you bring any snakes in here, we don't do that here. The meaning of this verse, and I'll give you the Greek word means to remove or cause to cease. I'm all for that with serpents, cause them to cease. But I really believe it's a spiritual reference here. We do see it literally acted out with Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts with a snake attached to him, and he shook it off with no ill effects of it. So we see that in a real way. But God gave us authority. He said, I tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The rest of verse 18, they'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Sometimes we'll stop the quoting right there, but let's look at verse 20. I think it's the last verse of the entire book of Mark. Read it out loud with me. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Let it be. So be it. That amen at the end. Philip, he proclaimed Jesus. As he believed God for healing, the miracles, the deliverances that took place, we see that. And there was great joy, the Bible says, in that city. We we could... That's it back in earlier in Acts chapter 8. I don't want to go back and read it. But see, actions follow true believing. Let there be an expectancy in us. We're to be influencers for God. Don't feel like you have to hesitate before you get off the phone, maybe calling to encourage somebody. Can I pray for you? Just pray. Just believe God for where the needs are. God brings somebody to your heart. Say their names. Lord, God, do this. You know, I'm thinking of Neil or Daryl or anybody. So many in this body. But I just want to call their name out. Sometimes I think it doesn't hurt to reach out to them and text them and call them and say, I just want you to know that I'm believing God with you today. These signs follow. They accompany the Word of God. It's not going to accompany my best wishful thinking, but the Word of God. So I believe because you are choosing to let God fulfill His purpose in you, then we'll see this more and more. But go ahead and get your expector up. Actions that follow true believing. In other words, people act on what they truly believe. There was great revival in the city. People publicly professed Jesus as Lord. The city was transformed because somebody was willing to make a difference. Somebody, by God's grace, was willing to make a difference. Are you here tonight? Say, I'm willing. By God's grace, I will. Would you say it with me out loud? By God's grace, I will make a difference. Let's say it together one more time. By God's grace, I will make a difference. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts together. Thank you, Lord, for your glorious power, your grace at work in us. And your intention is for it to work through us too. Signs and wonders and miracles accompanying the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for letting that stirring of faith and anointing arise within each of us. For those who maybe have experienced big enough disappointments that they've sort of pulled back, pulled into a shell some way, thinking if I don't try anything, I won't be disappointed. But, oh God, let this not be a stepping forward out of that. Lord, thank you for even those as we face adversity, that we'll see divine opportunities in that. Even in the moment things, those divine moments that you're trying to help us step over into, let us be aware of those. Lord, let us be available. Like those seven men that were willing, were available. And then you helped them develop and to discover more of you. Philip, that started out in such insignificance, but would wind up not only turning the city of Samaria, but the Ethiopian treasurer that he shared Jesus with. Lord, let us be people that are just responsive to you. We will pull back from being responsive to what reactionary things would happen in the world, but let us draw close to being responsive to you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you stand up with me tonight as we're about to close? But prayer partners, if you have your mask, I just want people to be really comfortable, and you don't have to come. I just want you to be aware that these prayer partners, the ones that feel comfortable enough to do that, if you need prayer tonight, you can come. It doesn't even matter to if you need to keep distance, that's okay. They're going to just believe God with you. Oh, thank you, Lord. If you're here tonight and not yet made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, positionally, He's Lord over all. Individually, He only becomes that when we say yes to Him. One day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But if I wait until I die and declare that, it's too late. I've already rejected Him as Savior here. But I can choose to bow my heart before Him here and now. Put my faith and trust in Jesus. You can. Maybe for some it's a new beginning, a new start. A start over in the Lord. You one time walked up close in the Lord, but yet disappointment, distraction, diversion, whatever happened. tonight's a night that would be really good to start over. While they sing this last song, again, if you feel comfortable to come for prayer, you can. If you want to pray right where you are, you can. But can we on purpose engage in this next 3 minutes? Let God prepare us for the opportunities in front of us. Let Him prepare us for the things that are yet ahead. Make a difference. You said it a few times tonight. By God's grace, I will make a difference. Lord, let it be so in each of us, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.